The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and there were a few sports for us to talk about, and it's a brand new year. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, a.k.a. Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number on the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. That's his way of participating in the show, so you'll be doing him a solid. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to see our smiling faces, you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and look for ESPN975.com. Either way, and I know it's a crappy day out there. Weather sucks. It's sticky and rainy and gross. So be careful driving home. We'll get you home in one piece.
We'll do our best, too. We can't make any guarantees.
Well, yeah, I can't control the really crappy drivers out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll keep you entertained if they run over you. So there's at least that. What's going on, Hoppin? How was your break?
Sportsy, yeah. I guess. Yeah, it was good times, man. Once you're a little bit older, you know how it is. Christmas isn't about you anymore. It's about the kids. But you'll be glad to know I made some time to watch a couple TV shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Now I can't remember all of them. I finished what was the show I was watching? The Confession Killer. I finished that. And then I watched a documentary called Don't F with Cats.
Okay.
You've got to watch this. It is the most insane story. And I'd heard the story before on my true crime podcast.
Yeah.
But this is way more detailed. And it's about a guy who really, 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 really wanted to be famous. So he started making these crazy videos on the internet, basically of him murdering cats.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And these internet nerds are like, rule number one of the internet is don't F with cats. So this group of nerds basically started their own manhunt, because there was no, like, the police, they couldn't do anything about it because they didn't know where he was at.
Right.
So this group of computer nerds started to put together where he was at and basically started a worldwide manhunt for him.
Huh.
And I don't want to ruin the story for you, but I really, really recommend this documentary. There's three parts to it.
Okay.
So it's not a super long watch. It is a little bit difficult to stomach at times.
Yeah.
But it doesn't show any, like, graphic actual cat death or anything. Like, it doesn't show the cats actually dying. But it's still pretty difficult.
Huh.
But I highly, highly recommend it. And then I watched something. Have you ever seen this? It was like a 30-minute short documentary called The Ghost of Sugarland.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
It's interesting. It's about a guy who, in Sugarland, a black Muslim guy or a converted Muslim guy who was hanging around with, I guess you would say, like, born into Islam Muslims. And he started to take it way more. He started to become extreme, more so than the guys who were born into it, because they're obviously, it's sort of the dichotomy of, like, the guys who were born Muslim trying to Americanize themselves, and this guy who's an American who finds Islam later in life trying to take it to the extreme. And basically all these Muslim dudes now are, it's, the whole show is them in masks talking, right, about how this guy became radicalized.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by that. I just watched one about that Canadian kid that got radicalized and then wound up winning a lawsuit because he got taken to Guantanamo. I can't remember the name of it, but I've kind of gotten into documentaries right now.
I love documentaries. Yeah. And the other one, I'm not done with it, but I'm a couple episodes into it right now. I've got to pull up the name of it. The Family. Have you seen this?
I've not seen that, no.
So The Family is this story of this ultra-religious, basically a cult that's...
I like cults.
They basically are very, very, very influential in Washington. Like, to the point that they, you know...
So they're the Koch brothers.
It's a very interesting. It's a very interesting show, and it is. Like I said, I haven't finished it yet, but it's like, man, there's some people who do crazy, crazy things in the name of religion.
Yeah,
and
so you haven't got on The Witcher yet.
No,
Did you see that as now the most streamed thing, and even more so than The Mandalorian?
Yeah,
and it did more than Stranger Things on Netflix, which is wild. I liked it. I thought the ending sucked.
You know what?
But
you thought the Witcher ending sucked?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. And when you said the Coen brothers, it is about them.
Oh, really?
Their dad specifically is the guy who the main thing is about.
Okay, I was joking.
No, I was. That's really what it's about. The fellowship or whatever it is.
Yeah. Interesting.
I looked at that. I gave a hard look at that Witcher, and I decided that I'm okay not being super cool and knowing what's going on with The Witcher, because I feel like The Witcher is going to be one of those shows that people talk about, and I think. But, like, the more I hear about it, and it's about monsters, and it's fantasy, it's not for me, I don't think.
It's not something you would be into. Here's another reason why you wouldn't like it. While it's based on books, it's more popular as a video game. And I know how you feel about those kind of things, but I will just say this. Henry Cavill is fantastic in it. And I think he alone makes it worth watching. And the show's at its best when he's on screen. Because there's a few episodes where he's not the main focus. And I found the ending unsatisfying. I'm not going to give any spoilers away.
So unsatisfying.
But especially with something that is so successful as a game. Because in games, what do you try to do? You try to level up, right?
Yeah.
And when you level up, there's an ending, right? It actually ends. And then you start over with something new. So with all that in mind, I found the ending unsatisfying, but it's still worth watching. I didn't watch too much. I didn't really do anything for New Year's. This is how you know you're old. Well, Monday night we went over to Neil's bar and watched Zombieland Double Tap. They were showing that. That was fun.
I kind of want to watch that.
You'll like it. If you like the first one, you'll love it. It's basically the same thing with different jokes. But I didn't really do anything. Tuesday I went out for a little bit and then came home and went to bed about 8.
That was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
And
You're a wild man. I
did not wake up until midnight when apparently everyone in my neighborhood decided they were launching the loudest firecrackers ever.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure one of the people really close to me was launching those mortar shells. Have you ever done those?
Yeah.
God, those things are loud.
I'm not a big fireworks guy.
I'm not either.
Like we've talked about this before, things that other people love that I'm not really into, fireworks is near the top of it. Like, they're almost a nuisance to me.
I used to love doing them, but it's the same thing. The older you get, the less interested you are.
Yeah.
But my favorite part was the next morning. Apparently, my neighborhood partied like crazy. And about 4:30 or so, the puppy decides she needs to go out for a walk. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take... I don't know if I can call her puppy anymore. She's over a year old. But we go out for the walk. And there's an SUV parked alongside the street near me. And there's a guy leaning against the door, not moving. And somehow he's standing straight up and leaning against the door of his car. And so I go to check on him. He's asleep, standing up, leaning against his car. And so I wake him up. You say, "You're all right, man?" Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me how to get home? And it's like, well, I don't really know where you live, so not really. And I don't think you should be driving. Maybe you should just chill in your car for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's a good idea. So he gets in the car, and then he takes off. And he's driving like 5 miles an hour down Polk Street, stopping every 5 feet or so. And I'm watching this because I'm like, man, this, what the hell's he doing? He turns around. He comes back, parks in the same spot. Hey, man, do you know where I live? Nope, but maybe you should just crash here for a little bit. And he did, because I went out a couple hours later, and he was still asleep.
Oh, I thought you mean you let him crash at your house.
No, no, he'd crash in his car. I don't know the guy. I'm not letting anybody in my house.
It's like, man, you're really friendly.
No, but and then the other thing that was kind of funny was I go out for a run the next morning, and, I mean, it really did feel like Baghdad with all the fireworks. There was one street that was just littered with firework crap that nobody bothered to pick up. And saw a couple shell casings, so some people were shooting guns in the air, which please don't do. Those things have to come down. Nobody realizes the bullets have to come down. Yeah, I know. Poor lady's out just doing fireworks, and, you know, what do you do? But, yeah, it was pretty wild, and I feel like I didn't participate in any of it. I don't know what that says about me anymore.
You're old.
Yeah. I just had a nice, quiet couple of days. Didn't, I'm pretty much caught up on TV, so I'm going to try some of this, some of these that you mentioned.
Do the cats one.
Okay, I'll do that first.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. Greg, Beerman Greg says, AJ, Game of Thrones had magic, etc., and I think you would really like The Witcher. I've made this clear the whole time. The magic stuff on Game of Thrones was like my least favorite part of the whole show. Well, I like the backhanded deception.
Well,
like
it was at its best. The politics, the reason the show was better than the books for the longest time, it was all about the politics, and the magic was just kind of there.
Yeah, that's what I liked, is the back end stuff.
And there's no nudity on Netflix, right? So there's that's from Game of Thrones is there.
There's no nudity on Netflix?
I don't think there is.
Oh, yeah, there is.
I think there's nudity in The Witcher.
Netflix is the Wild West.
I mean, I don't think you would hate it, because if you like Henry Cavill, and it took me a while to even realize it was him. That's how good he was. Yeah. He's kind of this, you know, unemotional dude. But, yeah, the magic stuff is kind of, I'm not a fan of that, but.
Yeah, that's the part of Game of Thrones I didn't like, was the, I know that's what everybody else was into, like the dragons and all that. I didn't like that part. I like the other stuff. I like the people getting their heads chopped off and fighting for power.
There's not as much of it as you would think. You just know it's a magical world, but they don't like, I mean, there is a witch and a bunch of witches, but it's not like, you know, they're doing stuff like flying around on dragons and blowing stuff up.
You know what's my least favorite storyline in all of Game of Thrones history? What was it called? The Man of Many Faces? The Many-Faced God?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest part of the whole show.
Pretty much.
Like, anything like that that's like voodoo, I don't like that. I don't like it.
I bet your wife would like the show more than you,
though. She probably will.
Yeah.
That's why I'm never going to tell her about it.
How's she not going to find out? It's only like the most popular show on streaming now.
Oh, I don't let her have the internet. She doesn't know.
Keep her locked in the closet.
That's right.
Joseph says, did people set trees on fire in your neighborhood? Because they did in mine. Needless to say, not a fan of fireworks either. I was stunned that there wasn't damage done as much as people were launching stuff. Jeez. And I don't remember it being like that last year. But, man, they were going nuts. And, you know, hey, good on them as long as nobody got hurt. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Lamont said everyone upped their fireworks game for the decade. I didn't really think about that because I still find it weird that the decade's over. For some reason, that's another thing that used to be a lot bigger deal, it felt like. Until we were in the 2000s, and now it's kind of like, really? It's a decade?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, maybe it's just me.
But someone tweeted out, and it was like, man, 2050 is closer to us now than 1990. That's pretty crazy to think about.
It means I'd have to last another 30 years.
Good luck to you. But, I mean, for me and Aaron.
85 is not impossible. I mean, I'd take the under.
It's highly unlikely.
I would definitely take the under.
It's your current pacing.
But, yeah. So, and then Ian said, you should check out the show You on Netflix. I think you'd both like it. I watched the first few episodes. Hasn't really caught me yet, but I like the concept, so I'll probably keep watching it. Interestingly enough, it was a Lifetime show, which... And I could see why it probably didn't play well on Lifetime, because it's about a guy who's a killer.
Yeah,
and and then Netflix picked it up for season two. So I'll probably finish that off at some point. But I don't really have too much going on TV wise right now, other than Rick and Morty, and that's about it. So I'll probably finish that. I don't have much else, so I'm going to check out a couple of those that you talked about there. 713-780-3776. Oh, before we get too far along, just for the Blitzers, got a little hockey over for you tonight. Chicago Vancouver over 6. Vancouver has got a 5-game winning streak going. They're averaging over 4 goals a game, and at home they're averaging even more. And Chicago's been terrific on the road and is scoring almost a goal higher on the road over their last stretch. So 6 seems like a very attainable number for those two.
Yeah.
So dive right in. I felt bad because I got to figure out a way to get stuff out to the people without using Twitter, because that's one of my 2020 goals, is to use Twitter less and less and less. But I had an under on the juniors today with U.S. and Finland that paid pretty well. It was 1-0 Finland.
You played an under?
I played an under.
Boy, that's a rarity.
No, about 1 out of every 5 I play is an under.
Okay.
So
I feel like you're finding the overs. You're like, okay, this is when.
Well, but I mean, the overs are easier to spot.
Okay.
The unders, yeah, you have to catch two hot goalies or two teams that are really struggling on offense. There's more factors to hit an under than finding the overs, which is why I give out the overs more than the unders. We said, I just saw the story about Illinois legalizing marijuana. Do you ever think it'll happen in Texas?
I don't know, but I will say I saw something about how much money they made on the first day, and it was pretty alarming. I want to say the first day, I can't find I'll have to find the actual number, but it was a ridiculous amount of money on the first day of marijuana sales.
I'm not surprised. Now, what I'll be curious to see if this happens, because it's happened a lot of places, including Nevada, including Canada, they don't have enough product to meet the demand at the beginning.
According to CNN, it was $3.2 million in the first day.
Yep, $3.2 million the first day.
Boy, what would we do with that here in Texas?
I don't know.
Just curious.
They made, so, and there's actually a Twitter handle called Free the Weed Tex, which is Texans for Marijuana Reform. And it says, Illinois made $960,000 in tax revenue on the first day of legal cannabis sales. Congratulations to all the citizens of the state who get to enjoy uninterrupted liberty while at Greg Abbott, Texas, can talk about high Texas. He can't say there. Well, I guess this whole tweet, I just found this thing, but I guess the whole thing is dedicated to trying to bully Greg Abbott into legalizing weed. So I'll retweet that.
Well, I think it's more likely that that happens than us getting casino gambling.
I do too.
Because there's not all the money coming from neighboring states to stop it. And I do think that people are becoming more educated about it. And I do, I believe, I don't know when, but I believe it'll happen at some point. And I think especially when you look at the revenue, and it's so much better. Let's get ahead of Louisiana on something for a change would be my suggestion. Santos, have you seen Shot Caller? It's with Jamie from Game of Thrones. I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
Yeah, not familiar with it.
Yeah, a couple people have recommended it, though.
Yeah. But did you watch the... You know what I did?
I watched a movie. Oh, go ahead.
I didn't watch as much college football on New Year's. Well, mainly because I watched the Winter Classic, because that was kind of cool. Which I liked that they actually did it in Dallas. That was kind of... Although it was bad for your Predators. It was still fun to watch. I mean, The first 20 minutes, you get a guy almost killing another guy with his elbow. You got a five-minute penalty. You got a penalty shot. You got a fight. It was perfect. It was my kind of hockey. But, yeah, Stars won, though, which, you know, not unexpected. But that was it. I pretty much watched that and then flipped around and obviously watched UT up until it was clear that my money line play was going to win there. And watched some of Baylor last night. A little bit of Wisconsin-Oregon, but not a lot. Just didn't. I don't feel like college football's a New Year's thing anymore.
No, it's because all the important games don't get played on New Year's.
I mean, even the Rose Bowl, you're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Sugar Bowl. Remember, it used to be such a big deal.
Boy, I actually felt a little bit bad for Baylor. There was some really bad officiating in that game. Really, really bad. But, I don't know if it would have been enough to let Baylor win or even cover. But it seemed like early in that game, they wanted to make sure that Baylor weren't involved.
Yeah, I thought they got hosed on a few calls, but I also think Georgia wasn't screwing around this year.
No, they weren't. It was Auburn. Auburn was the SEC team that took the day off and got beat by freaking Minnesota.
Well, one of the things that about Twitter that I hate are so far now ahead of the things that I enjoy. That one of the things that just got going after all these games is people trying to comment on, and basically it's an SEC thing. It's like, oh, if an SEC team loses, they weren't motivated.
Yeah,
that's... And people are getting on there going, every team is motivated for bowl games. And I'm like, are you...
No.
I really want to jump in and just say, are you stupid? Because it was, hey, Utah, even the quarterback says... We treated it as a vacation.
Yeah,
that was that. You're almost in the national championship playoffs, and then you're in the damn gas bowl.
Yep.
And you really think that team was all fired up to be there? And you knew that Texas was going to try to win that game. And that's such a big part of it. And I'm kind of with you. I always bet against the SEC team in the Sugar Bowl, except Baylor was kind of in the same boat this year. They were in a championship game with a chance to go, and. You know, I knew it was a bigger deal for Baylor.
But their expectations were much lower.
They were until, you know, Matt Rhule starts talking about interviewing with the NFL, and suddenly it's like, so I didn't have a great feel for that one. But that, man, that's a real thing. And bowl games don't tell you who has the best conference. And those of you who keep trying to spew that narrative, please stop, because it doesn't tell you a damn thing. And, you know, where it matters, playoff games.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And I think in retrospect, the two conferences that were the best all year, the SEC and the Big Ten, and nothing's happened that would change my mind about any of that.
Excuse me. The Big 12, they won a game. Maybe give some credit, some respect
on it. What game did they win?
They won the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Gas Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... I mean, what's a big deal? 1-6 or 7? No, that's Big 12 is still.
Like I said, the one that counted, their champion didn't do so well.
Mm, womp, womp.
Yeah, there was.
Did you hear that? What I guess the LSU coaches had basically, and I don't know how this got leaked, but the LSU coaches had basically said that we didn't even look at Oklahoma as a top 15 team in the country. That's pretty disrespectful. Also, pretty hilarious and probably true.
Top 15 is a bit much. I think they're a top 15 team.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, from a matchup perspective, maybe.
Yeah, it was a horrible matchup.
Yeah,
because they didn't look at them as even a remote threat, and they treated them as such.
Well, guys, it's a new year. It's a new decade. How about a new you? Time to go and check out my man, Dr. Linville, and find out what he can do for you and your hair. And if you're one of those guys who... Yeah, listen, I was in that spot where it's time to just shave it all off. It looks pathetic. Or get something done. And I looked into a bunch of stuff, and I can't tell you how many people I talked to about getting something done, and none of it made any sense. It was all plugs and garbage like that. Well, then I met Dr. Linville. And what he does is the NeoGraft procedure, where he takes your own hair off the back of your head and puts it where you're missing it. And he can even redraw your hairline. They did over 2,400 follicles that they moved from one part of my head to another. And... it was amazing. And guess what? He had it done too, so he knows all about it. And his hair looks fantastic. And man, mine's growing out so fast now that I can't wait. I'm saying about a month is going to look normal, and it already looks pretty close. All you have to do, go find out about it, 975hair.com. 975hair.com. Set up your consultation and just spend a few minutes talking with him. You will love what you hear. 975hair.com. Get your hair back.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy 2020, everybody. Hope you guys had a great time over the last few days, and we're not that far from the weekend now. In fact, weekend's almost here, and we'll be back into a regular routine next week, which I'm looking forward to. I kind of, as much as it's nice to have days off, I found myself yesterday going through and putting stuff together for show prep for about 20 minutes before I realized, oh, yeah, I'm not on air today. But it was all stuff that we could talk about today, so it wasn't wasted time. So by asking any resolutions, I don't really do resolutions. I do have goals, like I professional goals, mostly involving the show and Sports Map, like 1 and 1A. That, you know, those are kind of specific, based on, you know, ratings and page views and stuff like that. But I am getting back. I'm going to get back into my running routine and starting next week, actually. So my goal is to get in shape to run a half marathon in November.
Okay,
and there's actually one that's in Detroit and Windsor, so it's like half in the U.S. and half in Canada. You actually have to take your passport to do it, and that just sounds like fun. I think I'd like to do that. So that's a goal. So I'm going to get to work on that this month. But I don't know if it's resolution so much as, you know, I was planning to do it, and the new year's a good time to start. So especially now that we're done with all the partying. I do plan to take a week off from the gym because this is the week everybody goes. Because they do have their New Year's resolutions, and it's always packed. And then by next week, it's fine. So, you doing any of that stuff, Aaron?
No, I haven't really thought about it. I mean, I want to get back in shape. I want to get back to running because I haven't in several months since my wife broke her toe. But
it's always the wife's fault, isn't it?
Well, it was her fault. She broke her toe. So,
was it kicking you?
No, she tripped when she was walking down the stairs at the Astros game.
Oh, no. So she publicly broke her toe?
Yeah, but she didn't realize it was broken at first. She was four rows behind me, and I looked down after the next pitch, and she's two rows below me. And she all was like, what happened? I don't know. I tripped. And she was like, oh, this really hurts. And then 2 days later, she's like, this really hurts. Let me take off my shoe. And it was beyond purple.
Dude, why weren't you calling Lawyer Dave over that? You could have owned the Astros.
For what? Making stairs?
Hey, man, that's a serious injury. People die from that. I mean, if you want her to die, that's fine.
No, she's fine now.
Okay. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I don't know if you saw this story, and I haven't seen it confirmed yet, but apparently there was this Adam Gase burner account that everybody thought was Adam Gase. And turns out it was actually a guy who's covering the Jets named Manish Mehta, who I guess has been on ESPN and stuff. He covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. And apparently he was the one that set up the Adam Gase burner account. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, he works for ESPN?
Well, I know he's been on ESPN. He works for the New York Daily News.
Oh, boy. Is he fired?
They're still investigating.
Or at least banned
because
from...
the account was deactivated immediately. Yes. What happened was he tweeted out the story he wrote, but apparently he accidentally tweeted it out on that account too.
Oh.
So, whoops. Yeah.
Dude, that's... I don't understand who has time to balance multiple Twitter accounts. Like, you've got to be really motivated. I'm just not.
Boy, if you're covering a team, though, you can't do that.
No, that's that just... is a really, really bad look.
Yeah, yeah, so... we'll see how that plays out, but I thought that was pretty funny. And looks like your guy J.J. Watt is ready to go. Practicing, looks good, feels good.
What percent do you think we'll get of J.J. Watt?
I think we'll get about 80%.
Okay.
I'll take that.
I think that'd be big.
Yeah, that would be enough to be effective. Like, I don't see any sacks, but I can see him getting in the backfield a couple times.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was talking to Josh Jordan about this before the show. And he's like, how much do you play him? Because you might need him next week. And I'm of the opinion that you worry about next week.
Right.
If you have to break him to win the game, break him. I'm all for it.
He dies.
And he's like, yeah, but then you wouldn't have him the next week when you really need him. Yeah, but if you don't beat the Bills.
It doesn't matter.
Next week doesn't matter. Yeah. And I think you have to, you're going to have to play a good game to beat this team. Now, I don't think it's necessarily going to be as much on the defense. It's like I was saying on Monday. I think if the Texans offense has to show up, Deshaun Watson has to show up. And we haven't seen him in a month play a good game. I mean, the game in Tennessee was eh. I mean, they won the game. It wasn't because of Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And obviously he didn't play the last one, but he was terrible against the Broncos. He was terrible against the Bucs. They won anyway. Thanks to Jameis Winston throwing all those picks.
Yeah.
So, to me, if he plays like he has over those games, they're not winning. But if he shows up and the offense shows up and plays like it's capable of, then I don't think Buffalo can score with him. And I don't think the defense is going to matter that much.
Yeah, I mean, if the Texans' offense can show out, certainly. But I've been saying, this Bills team, it's hard to run away from them. It's hard to it's hard to really mash on them because you can't. They don't let you throw the ball deep. And that's the way the Texans have operated all year. That's where they've had their most success, is throwing the deep ball. Or at least having a deep threat with Will Fuller. And this is the one game where everybody's like, oh, Will Fuller's health means so much. And I don't really know that it does, because I don't know if Will Fuller healthy is going to do anything against this team. And
Will Fuller, well, let's start with Will Fuller healthy.
Right.
That's probably not happening to begin with.
And Jason Braddock, he did some research and tweeted this out, and it's pretty alarming. As great as everyone thinks that Will Fuller has been, Will Fuller in two games versus the Falcons and the Colts had 21 receptions, 357 yards, and 3 touchdowns. In his other 9 games, 28 receptions, 317 yards, 0 touchdowns. So basically built up a bunch of numbers in 2 games.
Yeah, and most of that came in the Falcons game where he had he had over 200 yards.
Yeah. It's kind of like Kiki Kuti, like the myth of Kiki Kuti last year. It was, oh, what a... The guy had one great game where he just put up a bunch of crazy numbers, and then he was just a guy for the rest of the season. And everybody assumed, oh, wait till you see him this year. No, he looks about like Kiki Kuti's supposed to look. He's just a guy.
I don't think that's how you attack this Bills team if you want to win the game.
I don't either.
And I think you've got to be able to run some of that misdirection. You've got to run some bootlegs. You've got to run your goofy little triple option throw to the tight end thing. Throw some to your tight ends. Throw some to Duke Johnson out of the backfield. Get those safeties to cheat up, and then you can take some shots downfield. And that's when they're at their best. And that's why I always hate that they game plan differently for every game. It's like I would go in and say, listen, we do this well. Stop it. Then we'll change our game plan.
Yeah.
But that's, it's not Bill O'Brien, so there's no point in me screaming about it.
I think the guy who might give the Texans some problems is Cole Beasley. Just a guy who's going to take little short routes and make plays.
It depends on who they put on him. If they've got Jonathan Joseph playing 10 yards off of him, he's going to catch the ball for 5 or 6 yards.
My guess is it's Hargreaves.
Conley.
That would give them a chance, I think. But if it's Hargreaves or Joseph, you might as well just forget it. I think that he'll just have his way.
Yeah, I think you put Roby on Brown.
Obviously.
And then if you're going to put Hargreaves on him, you better offer a little safety help in there as well. But the one thing that worries me is, there's two things that worry me. Number one, Bill O'Brien in the playoffs. That worries me.
Well, the Bills have an obvious coaching edge.
They do. But the one area where I do think the Bills will be able to attack this defense is with Allen running the football.
Certainly.
And they've never been good at that.
Well, and the threat of Allen running the football is what opens up a lot of the little short passing routes that, like, Beasley and guys like that are going to hit.
And if you can contain that, then you'll be fine. But I just I think it all comes down to the Texans' offense. If they show up and play the way they're supposed to, if O'Brien has a good game plan, that's a big if, they'll be fine. If not, yeah, I see them losing this game. If they come out and play as shaky on offense as they have been over the last month, going back, I mean, they're going to have to play like they did against the Patriots. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And that's been the outlier recently. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I think Cincinnati is going to destroy these guys. They just 17-0 so far.
They seem bowl motivated.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, A.J. Everybody's motivated for a bowl game.
Right. It's always been the rule of thumb.
Yeah. Bowl games aren't what they used to be. The playoffs,
there's too many of them.
The playoffs matter, and then there's a few games that matter. Like, you could tell those kids playing in the Rose Bowl yesterday.
It's a big deal.
That was a big deal.
The Rose Bowl is like the one non-playoff bowl that you're never going to question motivation for either team, because winning the Rose Bowl is always a big deal to those schools.
Yeah, and that was a physical, tough game. Those guys, you could tell everybody out there wanted to win that one.
Boy, after that game yesterday, I tweeted out that, and it's funny, I asked Lance Zierlein this too, like during the game, and I said, if I were doing an NFL comp, I would say Justin Herbert is Carson Wentz. Am I crazy? And he said, I've got to look at it, but no, their games look pretty similar.
I don't think he's as tall as Wentz, but I think game-wise, yeah.
Herbert might be a better runner.
Well, I think Wentz was a better runner before the knee injury.
Yeah.
But
obviously the level of, I mean, you could say what you want about the Pac-12, but Herbert played a better level of competition. I like Justin Herbert a lot, and I said it in a way that I meant to compliment, I mean, really both guys,
yeah,
because Justin Herbert just had a great performance on national television, and he was his first year at Oregon, the Helfrich year, they won like four games. They sucked.
Yeah.
And for him to go from that as a freshman to winning the Rose Bowl, and clearly, I mean, Oregon, he kind of turned around the program there. I don't know if it was just him, but I think he's a big part of it, certainly. I was impressed, and I said, I tweeted that I think that he's Carson Wentz. Oh boy, Carson Wentz guy came after me. Like, you're way overrating this kid. I'm like, dude, it's not like Carson Wentz is like, he's been good.
Yeah,
he had a great, he had a bad first year. He had a great second year that ended in injury. Last year he was okay. This year he was okay, but I consider this a pretty impressive year, given that he's got like homeless guys playing wide receiver for him. I'll give him some credit. It's been a pretty great year, and especially the last several games have been great. That basically took them to the playoffs. So I give him credit. But Carson Wentz isn't like Peyton Manning, where it's blaspheme to compare a college kid to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still Carson Wentz. It's not like this guy is so, it's not like he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, like, I would hate to put this guy's the next Peyton Manning on anybody, because it's, I mean, what are the odds that they'll really be that? It's almost, there's almost zero shot that anybody you say is going to be the next Peyton Manning will actually be the next Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, I it's tough for me to even talk about Trevor Lawrence and give the, like, I go with the safe one that everybody goes with, I think, the Andrew Luck comp. And I think it's pretty fair. But, I mean,
yeah,
I,
not as big as Luck, but big enough, but runs well like Luck does, sneaky fast.
I think he could be passer, like a blend of Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. But if you start saying stuff like that,
yeah,
people get real they get super sensitive. And Carson Wentz isn't that. I mean, he's a good player. But to say that a guy who is going to be one of the higher drafted quarterbacks is what I think he could be a very similar pro, I don't think is like something crazy.
Here's the problem is everybody decides that whatever player they're talking about has to be compared to somebody who's been successful.
Yes.
And because when you do that, then they'll automatically be somebody, oh, that's just stupid, and then there'll be people who agree with you.
And I told Lance, I said, I guess on the other side of that comp, if Justin Herbert sucks, he could be Blake Bortles. Because guess who Carson Wentz's comp was coming out? It was Blake Bortles. I mean, he's a big guy who could run, underrated runner. People question level of competition in college, but at the time, Blake Bortles wasn't a total and abject failure. Now we know that he is. And had I wanted to say that I think Justin Herbert's going to suck, I could have said Justin Herbert's the next Blake Bortles. But I project him as the good, on the good end of it, and I think he's closer to Carson Wentz than Blake Bortles.
I don't think that's unfair. Now I've been higher on him than a lot of people. I think
on Carson Wentz?
No, on Herbert.
Oh, okay.
I do think somebody's going to get themselves a pretty good quarterback.
Oh,
and
I do too.
And maybe not have to go as high as. To me, like I love Joe Burrow and what he's done this year. He's been fantastic. 1 year scares me.
Oh, don't get me started.
1 year scares me.
On after the semifinal games, I think it was Raheel. Yeah, I think it was Raheel who tweeted out, "Give me your top five draft picks from the four playoff teams." And obviously, my number one was Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
and oh boy, Joe Burrow guy came at me like, "Are you crazy? This is a historic season. Or you got to be out of your mind if you're taking Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow." And then they show me all the stats from this year, and to which I look at and go, yeah, that's why they gave Joe Burrow that Heisman Trophy. That's great. You know who else had those crazy numbers, like crazy college football? Johnny Football had a season like that. Baker Mayfield. Plenty of guys have had great college seasons, but weren't necessarily built for the NFL. And I'm not saying Joe Burrow's not going to player in the NFL.
I think he is built for the NFL. But
I don't think Joe Burrow's a slam dunk NFL prospect either. I think Trevor Lawrence is. So to me, it's the safer bet. I'll take Trevor Lawrence, 20 times over Joe Burrow.
I'd like to disagree with you, but I can't.
Well, you're a very wise man.
I don't know about that. Longhorn Demetrius.
And then Lance replied, and he put Burrow in front of Lawrence. And I was like, what? And then he was like, oh, my five weren't in any particular order.
Ah.
So he played it safe so as to avoid the... Lance knows how to do it now. He knows how to not get yelled at by fan bases, or at least try to minimize it.
But, you have to... I don't know. If you're going to ask somebody their top five, don't you have to put numbers on it?
You would think.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you're just, I hadn't really thought about it, but it would certainly be Lawrence, Chase Young, and then I'd probably get to Burrow. But 1 year scares me. I think he's been fantastic. He's had one of the great years in college football history. And if it ends in a national championship, that's even better. But it doesn't mean he's going to be able to play in the NFL. And so much of the NFL, too, as we talk about this all the time, where do you wind up? Like if he winds up on a team that's just crappy with bad coaches, then the odds of him succeeding are a lot lower.
Right.
There's very few guys that can overcome that. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I'm going to ask you guys here what Lance said about the Texans this morning. He said he'd been told that the wide receivers rarely practice with Deshaun. And O'Brien changes the offensive game plan the day before games after the OC installs the offense. Yeah, I've heard him say that before. None of those guys have practiced. Fuller obviously can't practice because he can't play. And DeAndre takes time off during the week. But, none of that surprises me. I don't know that that's the way to go. In practice, what are you going to do?
Practice?
I don't want Hopkins out there getting hurt.
I don't either.
And, if Fuller's not going to be out there, okay. But... that's not really something you can help. But the game plan stuff is, you know, I nothing that guy does surprises me. And sometimes, and the inconsistency is almost always based on their offensive game plan. There are times when they look like world beaters and they've got everything going. And there's times, and you can usually tell by the end of the first quarter whether or not they're going to be able to move the football on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Jesse said Mitchell T had one solid season and the Bears gambled. Give me a 3-year starter. I don't know that it's necessarily that. I do like guys who have had more time. Especially if you're a 3-year starter, then you were good enough to start as a freshman. And if you're successful for 3 years, then I do like your chances of being better in the NFL. If you're like Lawrence, I think will have had 3 years where maybe he doesn't lose a game. That's a better background to me.
That's pretty good.
Than the 1-year explosion. Oh, yeah, you could kind of see it coming with Burrow last year at the end of the season, but you didn't see this.
Yeah, my top five were Trevor Lawrence, Chase Young, Derek Stingley, Isaiah Simmons, and Jeff Okuda.
Might throw Grant Delpit in there.
He's up there too, yeah. Certainly.
Yeah.
I would take Grant Delpit before I took Joe Burrow. And it's not that it's not a knock on Joe Burrow, but there was four good quarterbacks in this playoff.
Yeah, it's probably the best four quarterbacks we've had in a playoff.
I'm scared to take quarterbacks that high because, especially if I don't feel like they're a home run. And there's a lot of, if you miss on quarterback, it sets you back more than any other position. And I think one of the many reasons the Browns continue to be the Browns is because they can never hit on a quarterback. They have never. I mean, their last great quarterback, probably Bernie Kosar. And that franchise doesn't even... I mean, they're the Ravens now.
Brian Sipe.
I mean, they've been through some really bad quarterback. And that's... If you keep drafting quarterbacks and keep missing, it just kills your franchise. It really does. And so I'm nervous to take a quarterback high unless I'm pretty sure of him. And last time I was this sure of a quarterback as I am of Trevor Lawrence was Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. You take the quarter, especially now that you don't have to pay them Matt Stafford money
right
for the first round. You take quarterbacks high, and if they bomb, you take another one. You got to keep taking one till you get one.
It's crazy.
But the reality is you can't win without one in the NFL.
You can't.
And so if you take when you trade up to get a guy like Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz or Mitchell Trubisky, you better be right. But otherwise, man, I would just keep taking a guy every year. I'd take Daniel Jones 1 year
but would you take
Joe Burrow the next?
Would you take Joe Burrow over Chase Young? Like knowing that you think Chase Young is going to be a dominant NFL pass rusher?
I probably wouldn't because...
Where do you draw the line?
Well, if you're the Redskins, you already took a quarterback last year. So do you take another one?
I mean, with your theory... Has Haskins done anything to make you think, you know what?
No,
they got it.
He hasn't, but you also have a really viable alternative here in taking what could be a generational pass rusher.
Yeah.
And give the guy another year. And guess what? If you suck again, you got a high pick again.
Yeah.
Go out and take another quarterback because you might do better next year.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, listen to my words because I know you want to save some money. And dealing with home insurance is not fun, and I get it, and it's not really even fun to talk about. But, you know, it is fun saving money and doing it easy. TGS has built a system that gives you a firm insurance quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address, and it's probably going to save you a bunch of dough. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. A system will reply back and ask for your address. You send that back, you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, and you'll never have to be on the phone with an agent. This company, these savings, they're legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer is saving over $870 last year. That's just crazy. And you don't need to wait for your renewal because they're going to take care of all the back end, all the paperwork, all the hassle. So you don't have to deal with it. You can just sit back and get rich. So simple. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote from TGS Insurance and start saving today.
Big drip, what you call it? Big drip, big drip. Ice chain, pure water. Ice. You got the cab, can't afford it. Hurt. You got the bad, can't afford it.
I hear that. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.